We come today to Sunday, February the 6th. It's the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. The Old Testament reading is Isaiah 6, verses 1 following, and the Gospel is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Let me read the Gospel. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Holy God, thrice holy God, make us holy. Make us able to follow you and obey you and glorify you. Conform us to the image of your Son. Amen. I mentioned that our Old Testament reading came from Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'" And then Peter's reaction that we just read. "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man.'" Isaiah and Peter understood something about God that's been lost today, and which we have to recapture. It is the holiness of God, his divine imperative that we be holy. We have to rediscover a very unpopular truth, the fear of God. And of course, everybody says, "Oh, that's so Old Testament." No, it isn't. The Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew 10, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." The Lord Jesus said this, people. The trouble is our understanding of God is so small that we have no sense of awe and wonder. Peter slammed right up against this full bore in the miracle of this miraculous draught of fishes that was the subject of our gospel. He saw the hand of God. He knew what was going on. He felt the presence of God. He saw and felt the holiness of God, and he knew his own sinfulness. And only when we glimpse the surpassing holiness of God can we know our need of his salvation and be able to receive it. We have to know the bad news to be able to receive the good news. Having received it, we will begin to be holy too. The first beatitude clearly teaches this. How blessed, says Jesus, are the poor in spirit. How blessed, in other words, are those who know their need of God. There was a time when Jesus went to the house of Matthew, the tax collector, a despised sinner. And we read this in Matthew 9, when Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" In other words, why is he associating with them? On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Thank God. Speaking for myself, I never understood fully the love of God until I began to comprehend the holiness of God. Excuse me, and his reaction to my sin. I never understood the love of God until I began to comprehend the holiness of God and his reaction to my sin, and that therefore he sent his Son to atone, to cover my sin. When I learned of his love, I wanted to come to Christ and follow him and obey him as a disciple. So this I want to say to you, seek to know the holiness of God. Pursue it, hunger for it, thirst for it. Because it's entirely one thing to know the theory. Most churchgoers know the theory, but not all by any means have actually experienced the holiness of God. Let me give you an illustration from my own life. Before I left England, I went to an open zoo called Whipsnade. There aren't any cages. The animals are generally out in fields with fences, of course. And there I saw, for the first time, a Siberian tiger that comes from the Amur region of Russia. And I saw it close up, perhaps 10, 20 feet. It's huge, people. Those tigers are 10 feet from nose to tail, and this one was no exception. And I remember much later on telling my son Mark, because I knew he was going to a zoo, and I said, "Look out for the tigers." And I explained to him just how awesome these Siberian tigers are. And he listened, of course, nodded, and he went to the zoo. When he came back and he said, "You are absolutely right. When I saw this thing, it was enormous. It was awesome. It was huge. It was fearful." You see, he knew the theory, and then he experienced the reality. So I want to repeat, seek to know the holiness of God, not of it, just not just facts about it, but to know it. And therefore the depth of your own sin, no matter how respectable and moral you thought you were. Look at Christ upon the cross and so know his love in atoning for your sinfulness. And then you will want to follow and please him. And so you will truly begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You will truly seek purity of heart. You will truly exercise mercy because now you know God's mercy and it has changed you. Now, all of what I am saying to you is countercultural, because I'm saying you need to see yourself as you truly are before God. How disfigured by sin you are, how needy you are. But I can tell you, my friends, that when you see this and begin to know it by the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, it's going to change your life. The root meaning of holiness in Scripture has two main thrusts: separation and fire. Holiness is not about what you do not do. There are any number of lists about what you should avoid doing to be holy. No, holiness is about why you don't do these things, because simply ticking off a list does not make you holy as a Christian. The question is, why do you not do these things? The why is sin separates us from God. And he who pursues holiness seeks to avoid at all costs anything which comes between them and God, anything which offends God. We pursue holiness not so we can say, I haven't done this and I haven't done that. We pursue it to be more like our Saviour in the actions and thoughts of our life. God calls us to be more and more like his Son. God calls us to be conformed to the image of his Son Jesus. We are to pursue holiness that God may use us, that we might glorify him. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And what is the light? The presence of Christ, your love for Christ, your desire to obey him and follow him. When Isaiah began to pursue holiness, what do you find? God didn't reject him. God didn't cast him away. God came to him and cleansed him and used him. Go back and read the 6th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. God says, whom will I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah is now able to say, here I am, send me. Are you holy? Is it your desire to be used of God, to please him? Or do you want the pride of saying, well, I haven't done this and I haven't done that? Do not look at holiness as a matter of actions. Look at it as a heart attitude, because when your heart changes, well, so too will your actions. I said earlier that holiness means a separation from sin, but also fire. Fire purifies. God uses circumstances in your life and mine to purify us. This process is often in the Bible likened to purifying gold. To purify gold, you melt it in a furnace, and the impurities float to the surface of the molten gold, and they're skimmed off. And you keep doing this until there's nothing else to skim off. What is God up to in the life of a Christian? He is purifying you. He is making you holy, so that we can say with Isaiah, "Here I am, send me." Ask yourself today, what do I desire? For we serve a God who commands us, "Be holy as I am holy." And who tells us in the book of Hebrews, "Be holy, for without holiness shall no man see God." Holiness is a fruit of salvation. Are you holy? Do you desire holiness? Do you desire to be used of God? I do pray you do. Amen.